A new music and art and technology festival is coming to Northwest Arkansas, and it's going to be something very unique. People from all over the country and the world will be here to see it for themselves, and we're going to talk about it today on the Know the News podcast. Hi, everyone. My name is Rusty Turner, and I'm your host for the Know the News podcast, and it's brought to you by the newsroom of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. This weekend, our WhatsApp Entertainment section will preview the Format Festival, which will take place near downtown Bentonville, September 23rd through 25th. It will feature live performances by a number of big-name music acts and local musicians. It will have exhibits, installations, and performances by a number of world-renowned visual and performance artists, and will also mix in a fair amount of cutting-edge technology and lifestyle events for all the attendees. Our guest today is Elizabeth Edelman. She's one of the founders of the Format Festival. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And also on the podcast is April Wallace. She's one of two reporters who helped put together our preview story coming out this weekend. Hi, April.
Hi there.
Elizabeth, this is truly an enormous event considering the venues, the music, the interactive features. It's no wonder we needed two reporters to preview it for our readers. But can you tell us how it got started?
Sure, yeah. So this sort of vision for this festival has been 4 years in the making, actually. My company, Triadic, which I run with my two business partners, Roya Sachs and Mafalda Kahani, we teamed up with an old friend and partner at C3 Presents, who is the producer and promoter of larger festivals such as Austin City Limits, Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo. And we really had this vision to create something that was smaller scale than some of the other festivals that people have access to in the United States, something that would give a platform to not just bigger name musicians, but up and coming musicians, and a combination of world music. So a lot of different types of music and genres that could be blended together. And then we wanted to pair that with art and technology. And the reason for that is we believe that there's an opportunity to bring art and open it up more to the masses, to democratize art, to bring it out of gallery spaces and museums and be able to see it in an interactive place that you would also be able to witness some of these great musical performances and give the space for those collaborations to happen. And, you know, the technology component is really blended into those areas and integrated in different ways. But we found that there was a gap in the market and there was an opportunity to create something really unique and specialized on a smaller scale, and somewhat of a boutique experience, I guess, in some ways for people who are used to these larger scale shows. But on top of that, you know, we then couldn't find a sort of perfect place for this. And it happened to be that during the pandemic, during sort of all of us being at home during COVID, we had the opportunity to learn more about Northwest Arkansas, and we began to fall in love with it. And then we had a chance to come and visit the space and see where this festival is now going to be taking place. And so we got really lucky to build a relationship with partners on the ground in Northwest Arkansas and find a what we believe is a really inspiring part of the United States to be able to house this event.
Yeah. You said it's kind of a boutique experience, so it's smaller than some of those other larger festivals you mentioned. How many people do you expect to attend at this point?
So this year we expect around sort of between 8,000 to 10,000 guests out in the field. And, you know, the intention is for it to remain small. We want this show to grow organically with the town in the right way in the community. And so our hope is that it will grow year on year, but we plan to grow it slowly. And we never want this festival to be, you know, as big as some of the other shows, which can get up to between sort of anything from 80 to 150,000. The idea here is to keep it small and make sure that it's something that the community feels really excited about and proud of, and that it only has a positive impact rather than any sort of negative.
Yeah, and you talk about keeping it small as from an attendance standpoint, but I've spent quite a bit of time in the last few days looking at your website and looking at all the things that are going to be available for the attendees to do, and it's really kind of overwhelming. There's really a lot going to be going on over those 3 days.
Yeah, it is. It's not a huge site, you know. It's a small site, but we've been able to pack it with some incredible activations, art installations. Obviously, the stages that are going to be out there are very unique. Normally, when you go to a festival, the stages are quite standard in terms of what they look like, but we are honored that we've been able to work with a range of different artists, some local and some more well-known in the U.S. or other international artists that have come out to help us build these stages. And so your experience of when you're listening to music in these venues will be very different than what people have been able to before. So that's kind of the starting point, is when you get out there in this field, the visuals that you'll be able to see in terms of these stage builds will be beautiful. But then the programming that my two partners, along with the C3 talent team and programmatic team, have been able to book in, have allowed us to have some really incredible installations and performances throughout the weekend.
Yeah. And I know you partnered with some local groups too to make this happen, like the Oz Group and some other organizations around here.
Yeah, we were really lucky. We were introduced to Cash very early on, mm-hmm. who helped us build relationships with local creatives and artists from the onset. And we've been able to run a local grant for the entrance gate. We're really excited because we think every year there'll be a different local artist that will be able to apply for that grant. And we're also speaking with the University of Arkansas on how we can involve students in a bigger way in the years to come.
Yeah. You talked about the music. So let's touch on that a little bit. There's some really big name acts coming in. So April, maybe you could talk a little bit about that and what some of the acts are that are coming in.
Sure. Like Elizabeth said, it's quite a variety. The festival lineup has Dream Pop, Psychedelia, World Tunes, Delta Style Blues. It's all over the place, which is lovely. These names that are coming in are some that I personally love and didn't really expect to ever be able to see in this region. More, you know, bands that I would expect to travel to go see, such as Rufus Du Sol, which is an Australian band who usually plays house and electronica. Their debut album was number one in Australia. Phoenix is a French indie pop band, and my favorite of theirs is Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, their album from 2009. So you may remember the tracks Girlfriend or Listomania. Beach House is another big one, The Flaming Lips. You may recognize British electronic music project Jungle, and also The War on Drugs. Which is kind of hard to fit into genre, and our music editor Monica Hooper kind of goes into that in our preview.
Okay.
So those are some of the biggest names that are coming through.
And I also understand some local musicians are going to get to participate as well.
That's right. They have made some connections with Cash, which is the Creative Arkansas Community Hub and Exchange. So one of those local musicians is playing Saturday night, Orlai. Her legal name is Stephanie Russell. She will play the Next Door stage. She's done big festivals like Summerfest in Milwaukee, and actually right now she is at Americana Fest in Nashville. Cash helped her make the connection, and she's had some support from the local organization, the House of Songs, that does a lot of things with our local musicians. She'll be a part of the lineup that includes Alan Power, The Flims, which is a female lead singer band from Fayetteville that's very active in the region. And the rest of that lineup includes Katie Schechter and Black Bananas.
Yeah, so lots and lots of music. But it's not just a music festival, as we talked about. So Elizabeth, you mentioned art, bringing art out and democratizing it a little bit, and getting it out of the galleries and out to the public. So, let's talk a little bit about how that's going to work, how attendees are going to experience that art as they wander through the grounds.
Yeah, and just to say, it's so exciting to hear you talk about the music like that. It's we're really proud of this lineup, and it's a really nice mix of musicians that I think are really excited to get to Northwest Arkansas. And, you know, part of it is what you just mentioned in terms of these performances and art installations. we're really excited that some of them are, there's going to be some surprises. So I can't tell you everything, but we have some of the artists, the performance-based artists who will be joining musicians on stage for very special and unique moments. So we welcome everyone to keep an eye out for that and get excited about that. But in terms of some of the installations that we've built, we've been really lucky that we have artists that sort of represent lots of different types of art. And so you have here, for instance, Doug Aiken. There was a piece that came out actually in the Wall Street Journal that helped announce this festival. He is bringing two massive hot air balloons that will be at sort of the end of the field that people will be able to see lit up in the evening and look at during the day. And they're beautiful pieces. One of them is the sort of outer part of it is a reflective material. So it has this sort of shiny silver look to it. And it's really visually beautiful. It will be a central piece of the event. We also have Jacoby Satterwhite, who's collaborating with Performa, which is based out of New York City. They're doing a series of performances that will be happening in the old airplane hangar that sits on the top of the hill on the site. We have Justin Lowe and Jonah Freeman, who are creating one of our stages, which is this sort of multi-room sphere dome that you get to walk into through these crazy doorways. And as you enter each room, they're set up to bring you to a different almost stage design that you'll enter. And we actually have performances that are happening in there. There will be a video installation on the top of that dome. We're also really excited that we're bringing the Red Barn for people who are familiar with it. It's been sitting at the Momentary for the last year. It's come out to site, and we're partnered with Toilet Paper Magazine, which is one of the partners of Maurizio Cattelan's new project, and they're building out the whole interior of it with crazy fabrics and materials and seating areas. So that's just to name a few. Some of the artists are also doing sensory experiences. So we have an artist who you'll be able to come and experience different types of scents as you walk through it that she's custom made for this. And the idea that scent is, Cicel Tolis is her name, the idea that scent helps create an emotion within you. And then we have a place called The Cube, which is a exceptional venue that's going to have 4D spatial sound. And so you'll be able to go into the space and experience music in a way that you never have before.
So and Monica in April Story goes into a lot of detail about Nick Cage's sound suits. But that's such a cool concept. I think we have to talk about it here too. So Nick Cage is an artist and performer. So tell us what a sound suit is.
Yeah, so Nick Cave's sound suits are these amazing pieces that the artist built that they almost look like characters or creatures with very colorful designs. And I believe the Momentary actually had a few of them as part of one of their exhibitions. I know Crystal Bridges and the Momentary have worked with him many times. He's a brilliant artist, and out of these sound suits comes music. We are doing a special performance with him that will be happening through the site, and he will also be collaborating with some of our musicians. So we're really excited to get him out there and for people to see these pieces. They obviously are movement. They're moving. They have people inside them, and so they're very exceptional.
Yeah. So and I read in our story today that the inhabitants of the sound suits are going to be local folks who they're going to select and train and work with before the festival and to get them ready for their performances, or I think they were called invasions throughout the grounds. So that seems kind of cool.
We're really excited to hear about the dancers that they've been able to work with locally. Cash did help us a lot with that, and so they've been doing rehearsals for some time now and working through a great plan. So it'll be exciting to see it all come together.
Wow, that I'm really interested to see what that looks like. That sounds really, really cool. So I was also impressed by the kind of lifestyle activities that, I mean, just lots of things for people to do while they're on site, other than the music and the art. There's yoga classes, there's, you know, workshops on dyeing fabric. There's all sorts of other things to do to add to the experience. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, again, coming back to this point of having a vision to create a unique style festival, we want from the moment someone walks into the show till the moment they leave to be a time for curiosity and exploration and to do things that you normally wouldn't expect at a festival. And so we've really curated in a way that gives people those opportunities, whether it's exploring venues in the forest, seeing some of these performances, having access to really incredible food. We've been able to work with some local food vendors that have given us a taste of Northwest Arkansas and also some specialty drinks and cocktails. So we want that experience to feel very specialized. And that does include things like we've just announced this big cycling hub at the entrance gate. We know that, you know, Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas are the cycling capital of the world now. So we want to make sure that we're incentivizing people to get out on their bike and come out there and have a very nice experience and, you know, with a bike valet, with showers and lockers. So that's, you know, encouraging people to be active while we're there. We also do have yoga, as you mentioned, in the mornings. We have a small campsite that we're running. We wanted to, you know, this is year one. So while we would love to do more camping in future years, we wanted to make sure that it works well and that the community feels good about it. So we do have some campsites, and in there we have other specialized programming that's happening. We have people that can come in at any points of the day. We've run this free busing system that's going to run from town to the site and back. And the idea is not just for people to be at the festival. There's so much that this area has to offer. And so we hope that the people that are coming locally, but also, you know, people that are coming in from out of town are going to spend time getting out, hiking, biking, seeing the museums, spending time in local restaurants, and really getting a feel for what this area has to offer.
Yeah. So, April, I know you're going to get to spend some time out there next week when the festival starts. What are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, man. There's just so much. I think it will be an incredible experience each day. And it's kind of hard to say what I'm looking forward to the most because there's such a variety and I want to be open to whatever they have available. That watching the sound suits interact with the performances really is going to be a special thing. Sometimes they'll be individually, sometimes in groups, sometimes all together. They're kind of a wild card, and so you will see them here and there, and I'm not Dr. Seuss, but everywhere, you know. I think everything's really very thoughtful, and so I'm just kind of leaving it open. And of course, I am dying to see, you know, Rufus Du Sol and all that, but really these extras, the lifestyle, the being able to get there a number of ways, that's what's going to, like, the combination is going to make it really special.
Yeah. Well, and it seems pretty amazing that, you know, 5 or 6 minutes from downtown Bentonville is this sort of, it's not really a remote space, but it's a wooded, forested area that's just not very far from downtown. That it's so conveniently located. So you were pretty fortunate to find that location, Elizabeth.
We were so fortunate. We fell in love with it from the moment we stepped on it, honestly. Being in, you know, an active airfield, the day we were out there was a beautiful one, and there were old planes landing there, and, you know, it's along a creek with a forest on the other side and has this sort of beautiful green lawn, and I think it will feel really nice for people. But to your point, it's not far from downtown. It makes it accessible. It makes it easy for people to get in and out. But it also makes you feel like you're kind of in the middle of nowhere while you're out there, which I think lays the groundwork to have these very unique experiences that you won't get to have anywhere else. And it's exciting to hear you think about what your days will look like out there, because for us, there'll definitely be some bigger names on this lineup that people will come out to see. But our hope is that at the end of the weekend, people will go home and talk to their friends and say, oh, wow, I got to see an artist that I never had heard of, or a musician that I never had heard of. And maybe that was the best part of your weekend. And so that is the sort of dream for us, is for people to come out having seen something they didn't expect, I guess. And so, yeah, we're excited about that.
So is there any aspect of the festival that we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention or let our listeners know they need to look out for?
I think we've covered so much of it. We have a great merchandise area that's going to have some awesome clothing and other merch items that we designed on our own, but also in collaborations with artists. So we hopefully will get people out there and excited about some of those unique designs that we've been able to make for this year. We also have something called the Bazaar Bazaar, which I think is worth mentioning in addition to the stages. It was meant to feel sort of like an old bazaar market that you could walk through and find cool, funky items and get to know some of the local vendors and artisans and creatives from around the region. And so it's being designed by a well-known architecture firm. And we think that will be another fun activity for people to engage with while they're there.
Okay. So I'm assuming you're not sold out. I'm assuming there are still tickets available. Is that right?
There are still tickets available. Yeah, we'd love any and all people to still come out and be a part of year one. Year one is always a very special one in the festival world. So we hope for those people that haven't bought tickets yet that they'll come, whether it's for a day or 3 days. We'd love to have you out there with us.
And what's the best way to find out about tickets and the details of the festival?
So to get all your information, format-festival.com is our website, and that is sort of the central hub of everything. It has tickets, lineup, information how to get there, and anything else you might need. And then definitely invite people to follow us on our social platforms. We'll be updating people and attendees as things get closer.
Yeah, I've spent the last 2 or 3 days immersed in your website. There's an awful lot of information there, so there's a lot. There's going to be a lot to do. I think it's going to be a very interesting weekend for everyone who goes. So, and I know April, you're going to be out there for a couple of days, and you're going to be using our social platforms to let people know what's going on. Is that right?
That's right. Myself, Monica, and a couple of our photographers will be posting, what we see, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram.
So we're talking today about the Format Festival. It's coming to Bentonville September 23rd through 25th. And our guest today has been Elizabeth Edelman. She's one of the founders of the Format Festival. Thank you so much for your time, Elizabeth. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to seeing you all out there.
All right. And also with us today was April Wallace, one of our reporters. She's been writing about the festival, and she's actually going to get to be there for a few days when it happens. Thanks, April.
Thanks for having me, Rusty.
Be sure to check out our preview that April Wallace and Monica Hooper wrote in this weekend's What's Up Entertainment section in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. But we've got lots of other great content coming your way this weekend. Mike Jones will tell us about how traffic will flow around the site of next weekend's Format Festival. The Fayetteville City Council will consider contracting with an architect to develop pre-approved home designs that developers can use to speed them through the permitting process, Stacy Ryburn reports. In Springdale, why aren't the rodeo grounds and the public library part of the Downtown Enhancement District? Lorinda Jinks will explain. Tom Sissom takes a look at sextortion of juvenile males following recent arrests in Benton and Washington counties. This crime involves enticing boys to share embarrassing digital photos and then using them to extort money from the victims. Tracy Neal reports on another local scam in which a woman lost thousands of dollars thinking she was paying to clear her name from being associated with drug dealers. We'll also preview the LPGA's Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship set for Rogers next weekend. We'll have all the coverage you need of this weekend's University of Arkansas football game against Missouri State at wholehogsports.com. All of this great content is available to our subscribers at nwaonline.com and at our smartphone and tablet apps. If you're not a subscriber, we can fix that. Just let us know by clicking on the subscribe button on the website or calling us at 479-684-5509. Again, that's 479-684-5509. We'd love to have you a subscriber so you can stay informed about all the things going on in your community. Thanks for listening today to the Know the News podcast. We're here every Friday, so until next week, this is Rusty Turner saying so long.